Let's move on to consent calendar. We got a request, I think, for one of those items to get pulled off.
Three items. I have 29, 34, and 37.
Okay, 29, 34, and 37. All right, any other requests to pull items from consent? If not, then a roll call on consent calendar.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. All right, now we're ready to move to time certain. Item 24.
Office of Equity and Human Rights Annual Report.
Good morning, Director James. We're very pleased to have you and the team here this morning. Portland is not alone, but I think significantly has made equity a deliberate effort by the community and by city government. And we're very proud of the work that you and your office are doing and the work you're doing with our community partners, and we look forward to hearing from you this morning.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor and City Council, I truly am pleased and appreciative to be able to be here this morning and present our annual report. I am not unmindful of the genesis of the office and the needs and expectations of the community when the office was formulated. And so I am pleased to be able to share this report and some snapshots of some of our achievements in the last year and a little bit more than a year. I believe we have made progress. I believe we continue to make progress. We are continually challenged as we make this progress, but I believe that we are in a better place than we were a year and a half ago. So with your permission, I would like to start by stating the mission of the office. The Office of Equity and Human Rights will provide education and technical support to city staff and elected officials, leading to the recognition and removal of systemic barriers to fair and just distribution of resources, access, and opportunity, starting with race and disability. Working toward the accomplishment of this very large and important mission has been successful and challenging as the City of Portland takes real and conscious steps toward equity. You have before you our annual report. Before I walk through that work for you, I would like to specifically thank the outstanding work of the staff of the Office of Equity and Human Rights. Every day, their charge is to challenge perceptions and change systemic work. That's not an easy charge, and it is always challenging, difficult, creating and having difficult conversations. So I truly want to thank my staff and the staff of the office, because without them, this would not have been able to be achieved in the way that it has. I would like to thank the many community organizations that support our work and push us to do better, many of whom are in the audience today. I would like to thank the many city employees who have tirelessly worked to support equity within their bureaus and the work of this office, even when that may not be the popular viewpoint. I would like to thank the many bureau directors who have supported this office and its work, but also challenge those who are still on the fence to make this a year to engage more. The report you'll see reiterates many of the troubling stories and statistics that so many community members brought to you when asking for the creation of this office. I ask you to acquaint yourself again with that information, those troubling statistics of our fellow Portlanders, because they will remind you why equity matters. They will remind you of why we need to start with issues of race and disability. They will remind you why equity matters. They will remind you of the disparities that exist for many residents of this wonderful city and remind you why equity matters. A quote that we often use in our training is that organizations move in the direction of the questions they ask. The past reporting period, we've asked a lot of questions. We have asked employees to ask themselves more and different questions. The report explains the program areas that were created as the office was formed and the achievements in each of those areas, based upon the questions that we asked, answers we received, and assistance we were asked to provide. We have, I will be showing some slides, and the following slides will help to highlight some of the report. The work has been challenging. We are asked to look at creating change in an institution that has been in place for a long time. The lack of a central authority makes this work difficult. Getting individuals to understand that this work is about institutional racism or ableism and not individual is its own challenge. Getting individuals to understand that accepting responsibility for making the institution better is not the same as accepting blame that there is something wrong with it. As we began this work, we had to know what our desired outcomes initially were. And so as I move through the slides, the first slide is a list of our essential one-year outcomes that we set as our mark of initial expectations for success. We would increase understanding of the institutional barriers based on race and disability, resulting in changes in the government and the culture of City of Portland's government. We would expect and ask that all bureaus accept responsibility to reduce disparities within their scope of influence, establishing a baseline set of metrics, develop equity tools to measure individual bureau successes and evaluate the reduction of disparities in the city of Portland. You can find this in Appendix 1 in the back of the program, back of the report. Additionally, select bureaus would be assisting in developing strategic plans to increase the racial and ethnic diversity of employees in the City of Portland. Select bureaus would be assisting in increasing the number of persons with disabilities as employees in the City of Portland, increase contracting opportunities for minority and women-owned businesses, and improved immigrant and refugee access to city jobs and contracts and services. As I'm trying to look at time here, a couple of our guest speakers have some time constraints. I'd like to go through a couple of the slides again that show some of the snapshots of our successes. We created change by creating a budget equity impact assessment tool for bureaus to use during the budget process, which you'll see as Appendix 2 in the back of the report. This has been made a requirement for each bureau as they submit their budget reports. Thank you, Mayor Hales. And it will provide an opportunity for each bureau to really consider and think about how their work and how their budgets impact the work from an equity perspective. We created change by coordinating with the city's enterprise business systems team to create an online dashboard of the city's employee demographics to provide greater transparency of our diversity hiring and retention efforts. And I'm going to spend a little bit of time in just a few minutes really showing this to you, because it was presented to the bureau directors at a directors meeting, and they as a whole loved this. It is the only place where you can find truly up-to-date, current, real-time information on the demographics of the city. We created change by completing equity training for employees of over half of the city's bureaus. But I want to be clear, that doesn't mean we've trained half of the city employees, because we haven't. We've trained employees from over half of the bureaus, but that may be their leadership team, that may be their city equity committee. That's not their entire staff. And so that is something that we are absolutely continuing to try to work on. We have created a citywide equity committee with, thanks to council, with 10 hours per month of approved work time for employees who are addressing equity, who will also be presenting a little bit later to you on the equity roadmap. We influence change and by influencing review of HR's policies for using background investigations during the hiring process because it was being used incorrectly by many bureaus. We influenced changes in the grading process to the Portland Police Bureau's scenario-based training to ensure that all of the scenarios are graded. And that was as a result of an invitation by the Police Bureau to come and consult with them as we did that. We influenced a change in the EEO language on city job postings. If you go back and look at what it was to what it is, it's significantly different. We influenced the continued funding for the position of the citywide Title II and Title VI coordinator, which was essentially slated to be eliminated. We influence change by assisting the creation of the procurement's pre-qualification board to provide greater access and greater equity in the contracting process for minority and women-owned contractors. Much thanks to Christine Moody in procurement and the work that they did in creating that board. We assisted in reviewing recommendations on the arts tax. I'll leave that one alone. We assisted in the review and recommendations for licensing of Union Cab, the city's newest cab company. We influenced change by assisting the Bureau of Human Resources on the city's model employer of people with disabilities resolution that was passed by the city last year. We assisted the leadership of the Children's Levy to change the language in their RFPs to add greater depth, breadth, and weight to the questions using equity as a framework. So at this quick moment, I would pause just to ask if there's any questions based on the snapshot that we provided here and or anything that you've seen in the report at this point regarding some of the successes that we have achieved at this point.
I don't know so much a question, but we did have Christine Moody in here recently with her team talking about the metrics on minority contracting, and it looks like we're making some significant progress there. So thanks for your cooperation with that, and I think she's being a good partner. In my impression,
absolutely,
she and her team are being a good partner. I was at OAMI about 2 weeks ago, and the sense in the community is that there's really excellent opportunity for working with the city now. Mm-hmm. So I think everybody who's worked on that, you and your team and Christine and the folks in procurement, all should feel good about the progress we've made. Still more to go, but I think the community is getting a sense that we're serious about that.
Right. Very much so. Thank you. Okay. I'd like to show you the just a snapshot of the dashboard that we put in place. If I can remember how to do this. This is on our website, and what you'll see initially, as part of OHR's efforts to gather equity data related to the city of Portland, the office found that there did not exist a single source to quickly get to the city's workforce demographic information. After researching how other public sector jurisdictions displayed and reported on this data, OHR approached the city's Enterprise Business Systems, EBS team, about setting up a workforce demographic dashboard system. Working with BHR, who had the operational ownership of the workforce data, and the EBS team, OEHR was able to create a dashboard which provides real-time information on the city's workforce broken down by bureau, race and ethnicity, age, and gender. You can look at total workforce demographics, or by bureau or by employee status, full-time, part-time, seasonal, managerial, executive, and et cetera. We've worked with the EBS team to have this data updated on a monthly basis. It is the most real-time data you can get. OEHR will be looking to add demographic data on city staff who identify as being a veteran or as having a disability. We'll be working with DEEP, the Commission on Disabilities, and BHR on this effort, so stay tuned. So many thanks go to Satish Nath and the EBS team for developing a great new equity tool for data analysis.
Director, what's that box on the right that you're sliding up
this
and down?
Yeah, I was going to give a quick show. So if we'll start with, if we click on the city's budget office, it will pull it up specifically. And so what you see is the information specific to that bureau. So currently, if you look at this, this number tells you there's one city executive who is the executive. This, 9 regular staff who are regular staff, 1 temporary staff. And then you can look down in terms of the age of the staff and also then the ethnicity of the staff. So 81.8.2% are white, 18.8% are Asian. And then you could continue to click on these. So if we wanted to remove the executive, we're over here, remove the executive official, and it changes statistics by what you want. And so it really allows you to get specific data per bureau.
Can you click on housing for a second? Because it's
sure.
a smaller where are we? Workforce.
Bureau of Housing, where'd it go? Housing. Okay, so.
And make it, can we bring everyone into the mix?
Everyone in the mix. So we have 48 regular housing, we have 2 at-will housing, 3 casual, I'm not sure what that means. And this gives you the demographics of it, age group of the housing bureau, ethnicity, 56 white, 1.82, 1 or more, 12% Hispanic, 14% black or African American, 9% Asian, and 5.5% American Indian or Alaska Native.
And does the, at one point you gave us some data where you gave us the comparator was the demographics of the population that we serve.
That's not in here.
That's
this
not
is
in here.
Purely based upon percentage of the city.
And at some point, will there be a way to correlate this data with benchmarks? Or is it just intended to be a snapshot?
At this point, it's intended to be a snapshot for use by the bureaus in terms of looking at their affirmative action plans and any diversity or equity plans that they have in terms of hiring, retention, promotion. Because you can break this down and look at it by who is, what level of bureau is management by gender, by age, by ethnicity. So it's a very clear way to take a look.
Now, how often does this get refreshed?
Monthly.
Monthly?
Yes.
Okay, good.
That's great. Okay. Yeah, that's great. And all bureau managers, I assume, have easy access to this.
They do. We're working, last I heard, though, I'm not sure, is it yet able to be looked at on a iPad or a tablet?
That's the next thing.
We're working on that. So we're a little bit behind. You can use your computer, but not your tablet. So, okay.
Mr. Director, we've had in some of the presentations we've had from Communities of Color Coalition, there's been a debate about some of the categories we use and how inclusive they are.
Right.
Is that still a work in progress?
Yes.
Particularly among the Native American community?
Yes.
And then figuring out what happens if people identify more than one protected category?
Yes. At this point, we just took the categories that are already in place and plugged them into this format. So we haven't gone beyond that at this point.
And the reason I flag that is that we've heard a lot of people come before us saying that until we really resolve that question, we're not going to know whether there's a significant, to the extent of the undercount with the census data. And we have to get our categories, and that we have to sort of have the data.
Right, and that debate over whether to use census data or another piece is still a debate.
But what you're doing is following the federal categories, at least in this.
At this point, yes. Okay. These come directly from the EBS, from some SAP. So this is what the city uses in how it describes and categorizes individuals.
Once upon a time, we were told it was going to be very hard to pull this data together. So not only have you got the data, but you're presenting it in a way that's understandable and transparent. So I thank you for that.
Absolutely. Okay. I would like, just based on time, before we go into the equity roadmap, I'd like to call up a couple of one city director and one senior city staffer to speak on some of the work that they've done as a result of our interactions with them. And so at this time, I'd like to call up Mike Abate and Joe Zender.
Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Mike Abate, Portland Parks and Recreation. And I just have to say, in my just shortly more than 2 years as Parks Director, this issue of our workforce and how we engage the community has been core to our mission, and it's been one of my top priorities. It was for Commissioner Fish, and it remains for Commissioner Fritz. And I have to say that the timing of bringing Dante and creating the office has benefited us as a bureau very greatly. As one of the bigger bureaus with 430 permanent positions and 3,000 part-time positions, the scale of the effort required for us is great. And Dante and his team, Joe and others, have been amazing resources for us. I'm going to just touch upon a few things that we do that we couldn't have done as well without OEHR's support. We have a mobile playgrounds program that goes out in the summertime and takes parks to places where people don't have parks. And one of the key goals is to engage particularly new Portlanders to parks and recreation physical activity. That conversation with how to better serve needs of new Portlanders sort of began a conversation with frontline supervisors, as you know, the head of that program, Jeff Milkus, and many community representatives. And the work that they're doing is applying an equity lens to where do we take these mobile playgrounds, how we allocate resources, and how we hire the staff that work on the climbing walls and the other activities. OEHR helped us engage with the community members to find better locations and to find ways of hiring staff from the very communities that we're trying to serve. What has been accomplished in the program thus far in the last 2 years is greater than the sum of its parts, of providing a foundation and a template for how to broaden the way that we do engagement in communities that maybe traditionally haven't engaged very well. Another thing is annually we do an employee survey of all of our employees, and this year our participation rate jumped by 25%. It was huge. But one of the concerns that I had heard from staff is that our equity questions on our employee survey were not very robust, very telling, very helpful. And so, again, Dante helped us turn basically one question into seven questions that help us really drill down into our workforce. We are going to be moving forward with a new position in the Bureau, an Equity and Inclusion Manager position. And as that has been in discussions for well over a year, I engaged Dante to help us with sort of best practices. How do you write? What is the job description? What are the characteristics that we're looking for in our Bureau to help advocate? And that's been extremely helpful. Finally, OEHR has provided consultation, support, training, and advice as we have developed and implemented a new program that we call PREP, Parks, Race, and Ethnicity Project. If we are trying to make sure that we serve all communities in Portland, we need to know who is using our services. That our demographic information to date, up until the last couple of years, has not been collected. How we collected that information, what questions we asked, how we train our staff, all of that, the Office of Equity and Human Rights has helped advise us. I will say this has been a change in the way that we do business. And conversations with people over a counter at a community center about race and ethnicity is not something that our staff had been equipped and trained for. And with Dante's help and his staff's help, we've seen amazing progress. And that we now have data to compare who's using our centers, who's not using our centers, and do our programs meet needs. So I just want to publicly thank the Office of Equity and Human Rights, thank the City Council for creating that, and appreciate the resource that it is to Parks.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing that data. I mean, and actually, it's an interesting juxtaposition of having you two as Bureau Directors here, because your Bureau, you know, we've got a lot of new Portlanders and a lot more diversity in the city. Your Bureau is a test case on the services side of whether we're able to reach and serve, you know, that much more diverse community. And it's,
right.
I know it's a subject you care a lot about, but now you've got the data to see,
yes,
how we're doing. I'm going to be very interested in seeing that. And I bet the rest of the council is too, because you're a real indicator of, in terms of the sheer number of people you serve, the kinds of venues, everything from community centers to you know, soccer programs.
Right.
We're going to know if there are groups and categories of Portlanders that are being left out. And that's going to be very useful. And on Joe's side, I'm sure we'll hear this from you. I mean, you're inviting people to participate. And again, culturally and historically, some of the new Portlanders come here from places where, you know, they had no say in city planning,
right,
in the country they came from. And so are we getting that point across that, yes, you do have access to the process? And are we, you know, making that essential connection with the diverse communities that we want involved as citizens, just as you want to serve them as customers, if you will,
right,
of the park system? So I think it's an interesting combination of partners that you brought us this morning. Both cases, we really know whether we're succeeding or not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, great. Good morning. I'm Joe Zender. I'm Chief Planner with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. And I'm really echoing the kind of comment that Mike Abate just gave, reflecting on the value added that we've already seen from the Office of Equity and Human Rights. The office has worked a lot with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability over the last year plus, especially on two major projects that we have going: the comprehensive plan, the next 35 years of the whole city, as well as the climate action plan, a similar time frame but focused on climate change and energy conservation. And the kind of activities that they've helped us with have been extensive, and they range from design of how we do the work, the outreach and getting to people, as well as participation as an equity lens or someone who's bringing equity considerations into discussions of the actual policies that come out of the plan. So just on the comprehensive plan, just some examples of how this has worked. At the beginning of that process, early on, we are challenging our planners, our staff, to start to bring equity considerations into their work, because that's the front line of how these things get formulated and discussed with people. And their understanding of how to think in those terms and reason through with that is important. And Dante and Judith Mowry of the Office of Equity and Human Rights designed a training for our comprehensive plan team, so they as a team in a cohort could grapple with these issues together and conducted that training. So we start with laying that foundation. And then our main sort of person we've been working with on the comprehensive plan has been Judith Mowry. And Judith helped us recruit for the phase of the project that we called policy expert groups, but it was a big public involvement piece to formulate the plan on different topic areas. And we needed to have representation on those groups, so we also needed to know how to even talk in those groups and make sure that we had equity issues on the table. So she helped us with the recruitment. She helped us with the contracting and actually the training of the facilitators that we got to run that process. She helped us with the training for the policy group members themselves. So even the citizens we brought in to participate in that group, giving them a foundation of how we want to try to start talking about equity considerations in our work. Beyond that, Office of Equity staff participated in the PEGS and so devoted a good deal of time to the development of the comprehensive plan. We had Polo Catalani as a member of the Community Involvement PEG, and Judith was on the Economic Development PEG. And so here's an expert or someone active in working in equity, not economic development, brought into that discussion, but to help stir the pot and keep those equity issues flowing amongst the discussions of what of folks who were more expert maybe in the subject matter. At the end of that whole sort of public involvement process, we were getting feedback too, especially from members who were involved with equity issues, that they were concerned that, you know, they were each in their individual topic areas and enough of the integration across those was not done. So in those choices between types of areas is where they felt a lot of the equity considerations are really going to happen. So Judith, hearing those comments, approached us and organized on her own, really, or with us, took the lead in organizing a cross-PEG group on specifically the topic and issues of equity, and we ran draft recommendations coming out of the plan through that group. So it was sort of an evaluation in real time, a discourse around equity considerations for what's coming out of the comprehensive plan, and Judith took the lead on both hearing it and making sure that we were responsive to that concern. And in the past, we might have just kept rolling because of time pressures. This was judged to be important, and she helped us do it. There's a whole similar sort of story to be told about the Climate Action Plan, but I'll save that for now and just reiterate that on these major projects and in our endeavor as a bureau to try both in terms of how we do our work and what that work produces to be focused on equity considerations and reductions of disparity, the Office of Equity and Human Rights has added a lot of value. Thank you.
Both questions. Thanks.
Thank you, gentlemen. Our charge, at least as we see our charge, is truly to focus on policies, practices, and procedures of the city. And how do we adjust those? How do we look at them? What questions do we ask in order to make them more equitable? And so that is really how we bring this work, in asking questions. And so I just truly want to thank those particular individuals, but many of the bureau directors and many of the employees in the city who are willing to really take a different way and a different approach to how they do what they do, because that's what this is all about. You can't expect something change, expect a different result if you don't do something differently. And so we are specifically asking people to do things differently, and that's not easy. We're specifically asking folks to think about race. That's not easy. To think about disability. That's not easy. Those are not easy conversations. And those are the conversations that we ask people to have every day. And so many thanks to those who are willing to step out of their comfort zone and have those conversations and look at things differently. At this point, I'd like to transition a little bit to some of our citywide equity committee members who will give a brief explanation and demonstration of the template for the Bureau Equity Strategic Plans, or the Equity Roadmap. Each Bureau, as you know, will be expected to prepare a equity plan for their bureaus that covers a wide range of things, with expectations and with outcomes and specific concrete examples of what they will do. And so the Citywide Equity Committee has been working tirelessly. It's amazing what they have done, and as a whole, and that they think they can get this done in 10 hours a month, which I know is not the case, because it's much more than that. But I think you will see when they present this tool to you that it's an amazing tool, that it will be beneficial to all of the bureaus and the city as a whole. So at this point, I would like to invite members of the Citywide Equity Committee to come up. I think we have Kyle Diesner, Desiree Williams-Raji, Jennifer Chang, and Dare Elliott. And I'm going to move out of the way so somebody can sit by the computer.
Good morning and welcome.
Morning. Oops, sorry. Good morning, Mayor Hales and Commissioners. My name is Jennifer Chang. I'm with the Portland Housing Bureau Ending Homelessness Initiative. The CEC was charged with developing guidance for bureaus to develop racial equity plans. This is a refresh of the city's former diversity development strategic plan initiative several years ago. Over the past 9 months, we've created what we're calling the Racial Equity Roadmap. It was developed by city employees from many bureaus, supported by OEHR, and builds on effective local resources, including work from the Partnership for Racial Equity Strategy Guide, King County, and City of Seattle, All Hands Raised, Multnomah County, and the city's own Title VI and Affirmative Action planning efforts. The roadmap specifically addresses racial equity in the city of Portland. It goes beyond a simple checklist of do's and don'ts and provides a tool, or a map, if you will, for bureaus to dig deeper into structural issues such as how we run programs, what policies exist that pose either barriers or provide opportunities for us to promote greater racial equity. The roadmap will present consists of four phases. This is taken straight from the Racial Equity Strategy Guide. The first phase is for bureaus to conduct a baseline assessment, see kind of where the current state is. The second phase is to set goals and actually develop a racial equity plan for the bureau. The third phase is to implement, and the fourth phase is to report and conduct ongoing evaluations. So it's really meant to be a cyclical process and a tool for bureaus to use year after year. Starting later this month, 8 bureaus have volunteered to do a 6-week component review, is what we're calling it, of the roadmap. And this will really provide us the opportunity to get valuable input from these bureaus on how to strengthen the tool before it's finalized. 2 of the bureaus will perform a full pilot over the next several months, and we can provide a list of the bureaus if you would like. So, the CEC members and OEHR staff will also be reaching out to each of your offices over the next couple of months to discuss the roadmap with you in more detail, answer your questions, and also hear your ideas. Once the review process is complete, the draft will be revised in mid-March and made available to receive additional feedback from bureaus and also community partners. There will be many opportunities for the commissioners, offices, bureaus, staff to provide feedback and inform the final version of this roadmap. We're really excited to give you a very brief preview this morning, but before we get to the actual tool, I'd like to pass it on to my colleagues at the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, Desiree Reggie Williams and Kyle Diesner. Desiree will talk about the philosophy behind the development of this tool, and then Kyle will walk us through the actual tool.
Thank you, Commissioners. This baseline assessment is based on the concept of change. Change towards a city government that can better meet the needs of all its residents as a diverse, anti-racist, multicultural institution. In order for our bureaus to change, we must know 3 things. 1, where we are starting. 2, where we are headed. And 3, how we can get there. In racial equity work, one of the hardest things to envision is what it will look like to achieve our racial equity goals, given that we do not have a moment in our history to pull from where institutional racial inequity has not existed. Fortunately, we do have visionary thinkers locally, regionally, and nationally that we have leaned upon to develop this roadmap. Underlying the assessment is a continuum for organizational development towards racial equity. It's much like you might expect for a child development continuum. Each step along the way shows an evolution towards maturity. This assessment helps you to know where you fall in this continuum in order to have a vision for where your bureau needs to go and how to create an actual plan to get there. This is a journey. The assessment includes statements that show where bureaus can aspire to be. The goal is not to get straight A's, but rather to have a better understanding of where we need to grow and how we might target strategies to make meaningful progress. Looking forward to the launch of this process, we see the ongoing role for the CEC and OEHR to provide support to bureaus in order to make progress towards these goals. So thank you.
Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners. I'd like to give you a quick tour of the tool, so if we could pull this laptop up. Here we go. So this tool has been built to provide all bureaus with a single resource that includes all phases of the roadmap and provides guidance and clear direction for how to proceed. The tool will have a five-year life and will show each bureau's progress over that 5 years. And so what you see here is the first tab of the is a dashboard that includes many of the key racial equity metrics that are already required for affirmative action and Title VI reporting. And we'll break that out and display it for the bureau. And I'm not going to go into a ton of detail here, but you can see that it's graphically represented as the data is entered. The second tab is the assessment that Desiree was talking about that really is based on this continuum. And there's 41 questions that bureaus would complete for each division within their organization. And the 41 questions all fall into the categories organizational commitment, leadership and management, workforce, community access and partnership, contracting, data metrics, and continuous quality improvement. And as you select these, you select on the scale of 0 to 5 on this continuum, from 0 being this isn't relevant, this isn't work that our bureau does, all the way to the other end, which says this is something that we do regularly and we model it for others. And the color coding on here helps to show bureaus where they are on that continuum. There's an analysis tab that shows where, throughout the organization, bureaus may need to develop actions to improve based on any of these 41 equity practices. So you can start to see, is this a solitary issue with a single division, or is this a bureau-wide problem that we may need to address? The tool also includes a place to develop your plan where you actually will list out specific actions that the bureau is going to take over the next 5 years. You establish objectives, what is the objective of that action, define who is going to be responsible for completing that action, and the timeline, and setting progress indicators so we can track our progress over the 5 years to make sure that for each action we know what the goal is and how we track getting there. The tool also includes progress reports for each of the 5 years that pulls over the actions from the plan tab and allows bureaus to respond with the status of their action, as well as the progress indicators to date, challenges, and successes that they've had. We also have the opportunity to ask for support from OEHR or the Citywide Equity Committee. So for every action on the plan, the bureau can say, I really need help getting this done. And then we can follow up with them to help provide some guidance and whatever type of support they need. All of our bureaus are extremely busy and have limited resources. And at the same time, the work of advancing racial equity is extremely important. The CEC and OEHR will be resources for the bureaus to help navigate this process and resolve issues that develop. We look forward to supporting each other throughout this process, and we will report annually back to Council on the progress that has been made. And with that, I'd really like to thank you for this, and we'll bring this back to you after the pilot to show you the final version. I suspect that we'll be able to improve it substantially.
Thank you. Questions for the team? Nice piece of work. Thank you.
Welcome.
Me again. As you see, I mean, it's truly a phenomenal document that wasn't done in a week. It took a lot of time, a lot of work, a lot of assistance, and much of it and a good deal of it was drawn from our community partners, the Urban League's Equity Strategy Guide, the assessment that was put together by All Hands Raised to be used for the school systems in Portland. So a lot of this comes from other documents that we put together with their permission, and because of the great tools that the community partners have already put together, some of this didn't have to be reinvented. So it really is a wonderful document that I think will be very useful It's not designed to be done in a week by the bureaus. There will be a significant time period because they will have to go through the steps to really be considerate and considering and thoughtful about how they respond and answer and create their own guidelines and outcomes expected for this document. So, as you know, the office was essentially tasked with making changes and oversight of city processes, city policies, practices, and procedures, but not with any exclusion of the community. And if you look on in the report on page 11, you'll see many of the community groups that we have worked with over the past year and the work that we have done with them. I'm not going to go through these, but at this point, I want to bring up a couple of community partners who can speak to some of the work that we've done in relation to them and invite them to come and offer some thoughts about the office, given the hard work that the community members put in to get the office created in the first place. So at this point, I would like to invite Mr. Michael Alexander and Sharon Gary Smith.
Come on up. Good morning. Ladies first.
Greetings, Mayor and Commissioners and community members. For me, this is quite a powerful, engaging, and political moment to sit in front of you when I recall sitting in front of then-Mayor Adams and commissioners and striving to articulate the desire to have a set of measurements and intention on the part of our elected officials to recognize the disparity between what we say is a wonderful community, access, opportunity, the elevation of all of us to expect that we are represented, that we can work, that we can contribute, and the reality of Portland historically and in that moment, in that time, still the inequities and disparities, the racial realities for so many of us were so clear but not evident in the practices. I recall having the pushback from commissioners who wanted to question the necessity and the benefit of clear, documented equity movement in this city, the major city in Portland. And I recall how it felt to have to fight for being included, having voices raised, and evidence in this city government that we were visible, that we were participants, and that we mattered. So today, to look at the results of an office that was constructed with purpose and intention to name the issues, to prepare and to provide opportunity for this city government to work better and to work internally at recognizing and elevating and understanding that all of us make up the city of Portland, have skills and opportunities, but barriers that those from whom it works well might not see or have to claim. So I'm excited to not sit here in contentious mode, but to sit here as a fourth generation activist, a civil rights activist, an equity and an advocacy activist, and to be excited at the results of what might have been an experiment to some, but was a real gut check for others about what Portland cared about, what our government wanted to be about, and where all of us in this room and outside it could actually see the evidence of things not seen at that time. Mr. James talked about race, and he talked about ability and disability. And I can tell you from being an African-American Oregonian that it is a conversation that happens in Portland, quietly, even subversively, that it is always on the minds of so many, even in polite society. But to raise it up as a value, to raise ability and opportunity and accessibility and equity, to do it deliberately, only improves the government that we the people have voted in and expect to operate for all of us. So it is exciting to see metrics. It's exciting to see bureaus being challenged and having opportunity to work better at understanding, at expanding their knowledge, and to do the work that serves all of us, includes all of us, and gives each of us an opportunity to bring our skills, our talents, and our treasures forward to make this city work in a way that serves each of us. It is an exciting moment to see what Dante James and this office have done in collaboration, in partnership with each of us, with organizations that have always been on the line to serve people who are most marginalized and to elevate and raise the bar for each of us in this city. That has happened. It hasn't happened overnight. The movement towards forward is actually in process. And it is an exciting time to talk about a city that can work, that will work, where cultural understanding, where race will be talked about, not as a sideshow, but as evidence that we get it. And getting it for those who don't have to get it is a more difficult process. But what happens as a result? What can happen when this city begins to show evidence that there is so much more creativity, there is so much more value, and that your investment in being a racially conscious and not racially exclusive city is in the best interest of all the citizenry. So I am honored to see a sea change and know that the Office of Equity and Human Rights is at the forefront on the basis of your votes and your leadership in creating a Portland that has historically been seen for roses and water and even beer, but a city that doesn't just pretend to talk about equity and opportunity and economic justice and environmental justice, but practices it. And once you practice, as I learned from my mother and all the community members, once you practice, you begin to get better at those things that you never foresaw you could do. So I'm honored to stand and sit in this city with an equity vision, a mission, and a performance measurement about what it looks like. And I thank you in the office, and I thank you for persevering, even if it might not seem possible, because we are your constituents, and all of us matter. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today. I'm Mike Alexander, and I'm here representing the Urban League of Portland. I traveled back east for the holidays because I have moved around frequently over the last 35 years of my career. I always enjoy getting back to New York City, to the people and the places that were part of my growing up. But for the last 8 years, unlike those trips back in earlier times, it was very different for me because for the 8 years that I've lived in Portland, I've never been hesitant to leave New York and to come back to Portland. It's become my home for many reasons, too numerous to mention, but one that I do want to share that makes this a very special city for me. When I'm asked why I'm drawn to Portland, I often say that one of the city's most redeeming qualities is that its willingness to be bold and to sometimes fail at the right things. I felt that way when the fluoridation ballot measure was in full swing here, and we were strongly supportive of it. I have the same feelings towards the current struggles in this chamber to establish an acceptable standard for the use of force by the Portland Police Department, and to grant the needed authority to the IPR to seek redress on behalf of our citizens when that level of force is exceeded. But nothing illustrates this quality of this city advancing down the road less traveled for me more than the creation of the Office of Equity and Human Rights. For the last 2 years, under the leadership of Commissioner Fritz and now the mayor's office, we have set a standard that I believe can challenge us to be a better place to live for all. I recall the consternation by some, the bemusement on the part of others, and the utter confusion by many in this city as to why Portland was in need of such a department during a budget crisis indefinite period. The past 2 years, however, have demonstrated that there is much to do here, and this city is not immune from the historical vestiges of policies, practices, and beliefs that are a carryover from a less enlightened and inclusive time in our history, and where we have systems of government that in some ways still reflect practices and institutional beliefs that were formed before we decided that all people deserve to be treated not only equally but fairly and in a manner that acknowledged that past inequities had to be owned and mitigated. And so while many of the people here today both applaud the city for creating the Office of Equity and Human Relations, and we are equally mindful that its creation was only the start of its work. Director James and his staff can neither fully represent its impact nor embody its mission on behalf of the city. Their work is to promote the ownership by all bureaus in not only their core beliefs, but in their operations and their practices. The work of this department and its impact will not be determined by Mr. James and his staff. It will be determined by the work of the bureaus reporting to you and by the support invested in the role that Mr. James occupies by the mayor's office. Whether that work is being openly embraced by each of your bureaus, quite frankly, is still an open question to many of us who advocated for its creation. And it's our hope that the year ahead will provide clearer evidence of its impact uniformly across all city departments and bureaus. The Urban League was pleased to partner in the work of advancing the creation and the momentum that has been gained by this office. We are proud that our equity strategy guide was one of the modules of information used to build the strategy. And our hope is that going forward, we will continue to see evidence of the commitment that formed the department and, quite frankly, the expertise that leads it. And so I thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today.
Thank you both. Thanks very much. Questions? Thank you both. Well said.
Thank you very much. Cognizant that I'm a little bit over time as I finish up, just looking ahead and what's on the horizon. The Governing for Racial Equity Conference is upcoming. It's a regional and national conference of government entities working in this cutting-edge area of bringing greater equity to their constituents. It's going to be hosted here in Portland by our office and by Multnomah Office's County of Equity and Inclusion, March 25th and 26th. It was last year hosted by Seattle's Office of Civil Rights and had almost 600 participants, some as far away as Maine. We will continue to provide education and training and technical support. The need to continue to explain that increasing diversity is not necessarily increasing equity, that treating people equally is not necessarily treating people equitably, that there is still a disconnect between what we do and what we say, that the 49% of children in Portland public schools who are children of color are our future, and our future is here, that the joke that Portland is the biggest whitest city around belies the fact that one person in four is a person of color and one in five is foreign born, that this city still has a long way to go before it actually is a model employer of people with disabilities. Change is inevitable. Growth is optional. We are changing, and we're continuing to grow. So I thank the mayor and the council for members for their continued support of the work of this office and of equity in general throughout your bureaus. I would ask you to check in with your bureaus and ask what specifically they have done to add equity to their work, add an equity lens to their service delivery, or add an equity lens to their internal practices. So I ask you to accept the report of the Office of Equity and Human Rights for the past year's work, and thank you for your time, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Great presentation. Thank you. Other questions for Dante?
We have a lot of people signed up.
I think we have some folks signed up to speak. So
we have four people.
Okay.
Actually, I did have a couple of questions and comments for Mr. James, if that's okay.
Please, go ahead.
Three things. One is that I've had conversation recently with Director Treat of Transportation about whether, when we do outreach on to solicit, you know, public input on specific project proposals, how good a job do we think we really do in reaching out to people of color and immigrant and refugee communities? Mm-hmm. And I was impressed to hear what Joe Zender had to say about your involvement with BPS about improving their level of outreach, and I hope that you'll have the capacity to work with Leah on that issue.
She's been a very big supporter of our work in our office, and she and I have had some brief conversations, so I have no doubt that we will engage in that more.
Another question I have is, looking at the budget equity assessment tool, you've asked the bureaus to the question, will this budget proposal or package increase, reduce, limit, or eliminate programs that are vital to or disproportionately needed by communities of color, immigrant or refugee communities, and or people living with a disability? And what I'd like to be sure of is that when bureaus respond to that question, they aren't just saying, well, our budget is pretty much the same as it was last year, so no, it doesn't have much impact. But I'd like to see sort of more detailed discussion of, within big bureaus, which of their programs are more important to maybe in terms of, from an equity perspective. For example, I mean, last year when we were talking about, do we eliminate the mounted patrol or as opposed to making deeper cuts to the property crimes investigations unit, et cetera, I think it would have been useful to have sort of equity perspective of those trade-offs within the bureaus. Mm-hmm. So I hope that in addition to sort of asking this general question, you'll be able to engage with bureaus on those sort of intra-bureau questions.
I guess I will engage as much as they ask me to engage. This is designed as a very general tool, because I could have written or we could have put together a 10-page document. But the idea is to give them the generalities to then begin to ask those deeper questions and also provide you council members with the opportunity to take a look at what they should be considering and engaging in their own bureaus and ask those questions come budget presentation time. So a little bit of both. Some bureaus have engaged and we've engaged. Some haven't. Many haven't. So, playing hopscotch bureau by bureau asking them is not what we're planning on doing.
A third thing is, I was wondering if you've taken a recent look at the budget mapping tools that the various bureaus use, because there's some relationship between geographic distribution of money and the impact on various communities. And I mean, the way the bureaus allocate their money differs by bureau, and not to pick on Mr. Abate, but like I know one of the choices the Parks has made is to say that there are parks of regional significance, like Forest Park, which aren't treated as neighborhood parks that just benefit, it's not treated as a neighborhood park that just benefits the West Side. It's considered an asset that benefits the entire city. And I can understand the argument for that, but I also kind of suspect that Forest Park is more used by people on the West Side than it is people in Outer East. And I was wondering if you got the capacity to sort of take a look at the way the bureaus have done their mapping allocation and maybe offer some suggestions as to how those might be improved.
The honest answer is no, Commissioner, we have not, although it is certainly something we can delve into, and I can begin to ask those questions and see what comes of that.
Thank you.
Yeah, that mapping tool was put together with some considerable effort and could, I think, integrate with what you're doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Other questions for Dante? Great. Thank you very much. So let's take public testimony then.
The first three, please come on up, are Barry Joe Stoll, Mark J. Hoffhines, Jr., and Alan Francis.
Hoffhines, Mr. Francis here. Have others signed up?
The last one was James Luck.
Oh, here's Mr. Hoffhines. Come on up, Mark. And I'm sorry, who was the last one? Well, who was the last one, Carla?
James Luck, L-U-C-K-E,
okay.
Esquire.
All right. It doesn't look like they stayed, but you did, so go ahead.
Yes, Barry Joe Stoll. I already mentioned this morning that the sidewalk management ordinance was passed in violation of the city charter, but nevertheless...
We're here about the equity report, so...
I said nevertheless, and I appreciate if you don't interrupt me. I do have a disability, and that just makes things more difficult for me. I have a central pain condition. It's a result of a spinal cord injury. But as a person with a disability, I'm active on those issues. And I perform as a street performer at the 846 Southwest Taylor. It's, I mean, Southwest Park. It's right in the corner of Park and Taylor, right?